Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. It's all about the written word today, and we continue with young author Ken Ilgunas. Ken was first published back in 2009. His article appeared on the news site Salon.com and was titled, I Live in a Van Down by Duke University. At the time, Ken was getting his master's in liberal studies at the university and striving to stay out of debt. The article broke the silence on one of his methods for remaining debt-free, secretly living in his Ford Econoline van. Ken chronicles his experience in his book titled Walden on Wheels, On the Open Road from Debt to Freedom. His work is relevant, honest, and inspiring, and while it addresses his adventures in van dwelling, it tells other important stories as well. Ken sat down with associate producer Bethany Chafin, and she began by asking him to describe the three sections of Walden on Wheels.
You mentioned a quote, I think it's St. Francis of Assisi. If you could repeat that, because I think it sort of summarizes your book really well and summarizes the categories that you've laid out.
I can paraphrase it for
sure.
That's fine. So a laborer is someone who works with his hands. A craftsman is someone who works with their hands and their head. And an artist is someone who works with their hands, their head, and their soul. So I guess that's also kind of an arc of my story. I begin as this menial laborer paying off my debt. You know, I'm a cart pusher, I'm a tour guide, I'm a cook. These are just really repetitive menial labor jobs. And, you know, I begin to crave something more. And my desire to go to grad school stems with this desire. And, you know, I want to start working with my soul. And it's funny, like I go to Duke for no clear reason other than just to become a better, smarter person. But what I learn over time is, you know, I'm going there to become a writer. And I was able to use that experience and that education to write this book. So it's kind of this weird sort of Earl Burroughs snake eating itself in which, you know, I write the book to get a sense of meaning and purpose.
So what did your writing process look like? I know you mentioned having bought a journal during your time at Duke. Did you write daily? Did you sort of sit back after all of this, after those 4 or 5 years, and kind of start from scratch?
Definitely not from scratch. So this is sort of unusual, but me and my best friend, we would trade emails on an almost daily basis. And if we were going through a hard time, sometimes it was 2 or 3 times a day. And this was just us trying to understand ourselves, our world, our problems. So going all the way back to when I was a senior in high school, I have this huge archive of emails detailing my thoughts over the years. And not only did this help me become a better writer, it's the only thing that helped me become a better writer. But, you know, I could draw from these thoughts and bring them into the book and give it an unusual degree of authenticity. Later on, I'd get a blog when I started to go to Duke, and it was the same sort of thing. You know, I had all my thoughts and what was happening to me then. I was able to bring the book to life because I had just these rich details about what sort of tree I was parked under and the conversations I was having and the courses I was taking. So a lot of the book was sort of already written, but I did spend another year and a half working on it, kind of enriching those things, using the luxury of hindsight to, I don't know, just make it richer.
You had to keep your van dwelling a secret for a while at Duke, and you talk about some of the loneliness that came with that, and now I think about what was once a secret, now it's published for everyone to read about in all its detail, and I wonder if that's sort of a strange juxtaposition.
I mean, it's strange, but it doesn't affect me much at all. It's funny, like I have a blog, I have a book, I'm on the radio right now, you know, I've been on TV, and you get the impression that I'm this terribly extroverted person, but it's actually the exact opposite. You know, I spend almost all of my time alone and in silence, and that's kind of how I like it. I like reading and writing and gardening and going on jogs and hikes and that sort of thing. You know, it's not a big deal when I share my life with the world at large because there's no consequences of it for me. Like, I don't, like, walk down the street and people notice me. I don't walk down the street. So it's just not a big deal. You know, it's just like I'm almost emailing Josh. It's just something for him to read. And I just kind of feel disconnected from my audience, which is nice in a way because I'm able to maintain that solitude and that sense of privacy.
Comes the morning when I can feel that there's nothing left to be.
So outside in our parking lot right now is the very van that you write about.
So I still have it, and you know, I probably should get a different vehicle because the gas mileage on that thing is awful. But there, for sure, is a lot of sentimental value with that van, and it's hard to think of my life without it. We've been through a lot together.
Tell us a little bit about the van.
So it's a 1994 Ford Econoline. It's got this really vulgar fade. The top is burgundy, and it kind of turns into black on the bottom of it. It's got lots of dents and chip paint. Some of the tint on the windows is peeling off. It's not the prettiest thing, but it's been trusty. I've probably only put like 11,000 miles on it over the past four and a half years. But it runs really well. So it's my Walden on wheels. It's my little cabin, but a van. But it's also just the sense that, you know, it's not just a van, but you can carry this simple lifestyle with you wherever you go.
So obviously in the book, at times you know that you're experiencing things that will be great stories. Was it obvious to you that you wanted to write these things down someday? And was it understood that maybe it would become a book even?
Well, when I went to Duke to live in the van, it was primarily just to get a graduate education. I think I recognized deep down that this could be like a story someday. So that was always in the back of my mind. And I always wanted to be a writer. So a year goes by and I'm in a travel writing course and I write about living in my van. It's kind of like a big coming out moment because I have to read my story aloud to fellow classmates. And they liked the story. My professor loved the story. And she said, you know, Ken, you should think about publishing this. And, you know, I thought, do I really want to, you know, expose myself to the country at large and, you know, tell them I'm secretly living in a van at Duke? I said, you know what, why not? I'm sick of keeping a secret. I have this great story. We were in the midst of the Great Recession and people were buying homes they couldn't afford. So I thought, you know, a story about frugality and living simple, it would be pretty timely. So she had a connection at salon.com. I wrote the story for them. And before it was even published, before it even showed up on their website, I got an email from a literary agent in New York City saying, why don't you think about turning this into a book? So, you know, before I even published my first ever national article, I'm getting propositioned by an agent to turn it into a book. So my life is just, you know, I'm thrilled upside down, you know.
It's not how it works for most writers. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little more of
That's
a
great,
difficult slog. At first, I think, is living in a van even that exciting? I shower at the gym, I cook a meal in my van, I hang out in the library, I go to sleep in the van. Except for a few moments of drama, there's really nothing too extraordinary about living in a van. It's really just living like in a mini dorm room. But I thought about that agent's proposal more and more, and I thought, you know what? You know, if I tie in my past, if I tie in paying off my debt, tie in my motivations to living in a van and kind of structure it as a travel memoir, as, you know, adventure travel, then there might be something worthwhile here. But I'm still a student. I'd only been in school for a year, and I still had another year and a half to go. And I almost thought about dropping out to write this book, but there just seemed something kind of wrong about that. And my instinct said, no, you're a student, stay in school, worry about the book later. And that's what I did. However, I always had the book in the back of my mind. So I took courses that would kind of help me prepare for that. For instance, I took an independent study and I called the course Student Debt and the Self. And I just kind of looked at debt from a philosophical angle and tried to understand what debt does to the human soul. And I also took two writing courses over the course of that year. For my final project in my last semester, I wrote the book in just one semester. And that would eventually become the real book once I edited it 7,500, 200 times or so. over the course of this year and a half, I'm kind of making some sacrifices. That first summer, instead of going back to my Park Service job up in Alaska, where, you know, I'd make 12, 13 grand over the course of the summer, I decided, no, I'm going to work on a book proposal that summer and work on an independent study. So that was the first big sacrifice. So that didn't leave me with much money for the next year at Duke. So my final semester, I'm writing the final project. I'm writing the book, and I'm running out of money. My whole goal was to graduate debt-free. And if it wasn't for doing 8 MRI studies, in which I had my brain scanned in the last week, I might have gone into debt. So I ended up graduating with about $1,000. And, you know, I begin to second guess whether I want to write the book or not, because, you know, I'm broke, I'm 27, 28 at this point, you know, should I kind of get serious and get a real job? And, you know, I'm kind of just battling with these thoughts. And I decide, you know what, I'm just going to go all out. I'm going to write this book. So I move up to Coldfoot, Alaska, where I talked with the previous boss, and he hooks me up with a writer in residency. I promised to work one day a week. He'll give me free room and board. You know, I was just really excited. I was writing my book. I was a writer in residence, and I wrote my first chapter for the book. I had it edited, and I sent it to that literary agent who I'd kept in touch with over the past year. And he stopped returning my emails and calls after I sent him that first chapter, because it was raw. It was raw for sure. And he probably thought, like, this guy can't write a book at all. So I was devastated. That was my only link to the publishing world. I had $1,000. I wasn't getting paid to live here. I'm writing a book, and, you know, it just looks like an impossible feat now. So, you know, I kind of go into this depression that summer, and I just really begin to question my ideals and my values. Did I make the right decision? It's like I'm paying for all my idealistic sins, because eventually I was so broke I had to start working at this truck stop again. So I was kind of on this Scrooge-like tour of my past, revisiting just these menial jobs. Like, I become a tour guide again. And then the camp manager asks if I want to wash dishes, except this time it's going to be in Dead Horse, Alaska, which is probably the most miserable place on earth, right next to Prudhoe Bay, the oil fields. After that, I'm like, I'm going to get the hell out of Dead Horse, and I'm going to start this book again. And I found some literary agents after that. I moved back to North Carolina, really focused on the book. We submitted my proposal to 17 publishers, and we got an offer, and everything's been good since then. Go forward and
reverse. Author Ken Ilgunas. He spoke with Bethany Chafin here at the WFDD studios. To read more about Ken's adventures, you can visit his blog. You'll find links at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. And if you can relate to Ken's story and have one or two of your own to tell, find us on Facebook. How did you manage to stay out of debt while in college? We'd love to hear from you. Well, that's all for today's show. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia. Our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. And our intern is Michaela Nance. You'll find podcasts and archive programs at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Please send your questions, comments, and suggestions to triadarts@wfu.edu. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.